Hello, dear sister in Christ. My name is Pat Domain. I'm founder of On Fire Ministries, Bible study author and teacher. In her podcast, we help women find healing and encouragement for real life through the Bible. And today, my daughter and professional counselor, Taylor Drone, is joining me. So I just want to say to her, welcome, Taylor. I'm so glad you're with me today.
Hey, thank you for letting me be here.
Well, today we are looking at Jochebed, the mother of Moses, and she's one that we don't talk about very much. And in reality, there isn't much in scripture about her, but there is enough that we don't want to overlook her life and the impact that she had. So let's start by looking at the meaning of her name, just as we always do. In Hebrew, Jochebed means Yahweh is glory. Or Jehovah is glory. She is the very first person in the Bible to have a name with the divine element Yah, which is a shortened form of Yahweh. So that's that personal name of God. So knowing that names revealed something of the nature and character of a person, I think it's significant that Jochebed's name expressed the glory of Jehovah or Yahweh. So surely she was a woman whose nature and character was established on the glory of God. So for the sake of recognizing this aspect of her character, I wanted to just give us a minute to talk through what that might have looked for her in her life. So Taylor, when you think about someone who lives their life based on God's glory, is there any characteristic that comes to mind?
Yeah, the main thing that I think about when I see someone who's living their life for God's glory is ultimately humility, right? It's like someone who's not simply trying to receive glory for themselves, but they're actively living their life in such a way that the Lord is glorified through all the things that they're doing. And so basically, it's like living their life with the belief of, it's not really about me at the end of the day. It's about Him. It's about the Lord. It's about His kingdom. You know, and to me, I think one of the really cool examples that we see of this nowadays, I feel like we've seen more and more like athletes just being able to, you know, go into the Super Bowl and things like that, and just giving God the glory for where they're at and what they're doing. And like, ultimately, it would be really easy, I think, for somebody in that position to go, oh, I did this, right? Like, I have the natural talent, or I work really hard, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But it takes a great deal of humility to go, like, this isn't me. This is ultimately the Lord giving me this ability and putting me in this position. And so I have to think that's the main way that we give God glory. And that's how we do it, is through being humble in the good things that we do have.
Yes, that is so true. I agree. I love seeing all the athletes, because it does seem like right now, I don't know if it's because of social media or what, but it just seems like there's so many that are really proclaiming the name of the Lord. Mm-hmm. So that's really awesome.
Yes.
So, you know, when I was looking at Jochebed's story, what came to my mind was that she was someone who saw the bigger picture. You know, in my mind, when someone lives life based on God's glory, they're looking much further and broader than their own lives, which is exactly what you're talking about, humility. Mm-hmm. It's broader and bigger than their own feelings or their own circumstances. However, I think we also have to take into account Jochebed's current circumstances, which were very much interwoven with the people of God. The Hebrews were God's chosen people, but they were definitely not living their best life. They were in bondage to the Egyptians. So Exodus 1:14 says they made their lives bitter with hard bondage. Mm-hmm. Yet still, the Hebrews grew and multiplied, so much so that the king of Egypt worried about them rising up and fighting against them. So this king spoke to the Hebrew midwives and told them to kill the baby boys that were born, but because they feared God, they would not do it. So the Hebrews continued to multiply, and then Pharaoh commanded all the Hebrew baby boys be cast into the river. So those are the circumstances that Jochebed found herself in when her baby boy was born. So while I would hope that we won't be able to relate fully with these kind of circumstances, we can all relate to being a woman of faith and finding ourselves in the midst of some really impossible circumstances based on the world that we live in. So what we see in Jochebed's story is that she really had two options of how she would respond to those circumstances. I think we do a lot as well. It would either be faith or fear. So Taylor, with that, do you have a present day situation that lines up with having the two clear options of fear or faith that may help those listening see how their story parallels with this real life story in 2024?
Yeah. So for me, there was a recent situation where I was kind of feeling some stress and anxiety about just my work and my career, the way, you know, our field works. I feel like when I talk to other counselors, it's very similar. Like, it's all the same. It's either feast or famine. You know, you're either like have so many people calling in and wanting in that you're like have no idea where you're going to put everybody, or it's like nobody's calling. Like, there's no in between. And so I was just in that particular season where it just was like, just people aren't really calling and reaching out for counseling. And so my natural response in that is to kind of freak out a little bit. And then I start going, okay, what all do I need to do? So I start looking at other options or the other things I need to do, you know, all the things, which, you know, technically I don't always believe is a bad thing, right? But I think whenever that's what we run to when we're fearful all the time, that's not normally good either.
Yeah.
So this one particular day, it was funny because actually talking to a client in their situation and just seeing the faith that they had in the midst of their situation, I was really convicted of the lack of faith I had in my own situation. So I kind of walked away from there. I went to go eat lunch with my husband, and on my way there, just prayed and was just like, Lord, I'm just giving this to you. Like, I don't know. I don't want to try and figure this out. I just want to trust in you to do what you can do. And so it's funny. We went in there and ate lunch. And then I came out to the car and looked at my phone. And like, in just that like 45 minute time frame, I had like two emails and a phone call. Like, and it was just, you know, just old clients and new clients wanting back in. And so it was just this moment. And like, since then, and that was a couple of months back, like it has not stopped since. And so I think it was just a really great lesson for me in that moment. Like, I could choose fear, and I could choose like trying to just figure it out and do all the things, or I could have chosen faith. And really, faith in the long run is the thing that's benefited me the most in this situation, for sure.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I love that. It's such a great present day kind of situation that we all face. You know, recently I felt the nudging from the Holy Spirit to go to a writer's conference again. It would be the first time in about 15 years that I would go. And I really wasn't sure if I was supposed to go, but through a series of God kind of moments, you know, I knew that he was really presenting me with an opportunity to go, and he wanted me to take it. So for several years, when God first called me to ministry and put it in my heart to write and teach Bible studies, I went to writers' conferences every year, and I learned a lot. I found that information was very valuable, very beneficial to me. However, going to the writers' conferences had a negative effect as well. In these conferences, you often have one-on-one meetings with publishers and editors, and those meetings are often critiquing, and sometimes you're presenting your writing or your ideas in hopes of getting published, and rejection is a prominent aspect of those meetings. And I found that while I loved the learning, the rejection was so damaging and brought on so much discouragement for me that I had to make a decision to quit going to those conferences if I was going to continue to do what God called me to do. So when I felt that nudge from the Holy Spirit that he wanted me to go back to these writers' conferences, I was faced with two clear options, fear or faith. And, you know, it was, would I give in to the fear of rejection and that overwhelming sense of discouragement that comes from that rejection, or would I walk in faith and trust that God knows, and that if he was sending me, he would carry me through with the courage and give me what I needed to go and to leave without that deep discouragement. So I realize that these are night and day differences from Jochebed's situation. Yours is, mine is, but I also see those parallels. The life that Jochebed carried within her was threatened from Pharaoh and the Egyptian world that she lived in. And for me and for you as well, God's calling that we carried within us was threatened by those who ruled our worlds. You know, for me, the publishing world, for you, the counseling world. And Jochebed had to make a decision of how she was going to deal with that and how she was going to protect that baby's life that God had given to her. And so 15 years ago, I basically had to make a decision of how I was going to deal with and protect God's calling in my life. And then I had to make that decision again just last month when God sent me back to that writer's conference that I had walked away from all those years ago.
Yeah.
So, you know, right now, I just wanted to ask those who are listening, what is coming to your mind in your life right now? Like, what situation are you facing that there's that clear choice for you between faith and fear? Just let that situation just kind of lay exposed before you as we talk through Jochebed's story. You know, I think it's really interesting that Jochebed came from the lineage of Levi. Now, the priesthood would eventually come from the line of Levi, but as of now, that has not been established. And I just wondered how much her faith, how much her character giving God glory had to do with the future establishing of the Levitical priesthood. Mm-hmm. Now, we may not know until we meet her in heaven, but I do think it is a consideration, being that this is the first time Levi is named, as well as Jochebed's name being the very first time that a person's name had Yah from Yahweh in it. Mm-hmm. That all seems like a big deal to me. And then the second thing that we see is that she conceived and she bore a son. And not that unusual in the Hebrew culture, but it's still very significant. So Taylor, I want to talk about the significance of a mother, the significance of conceiving and bringing a life into this world, especially in light of the culture in which we live. You know, once upon a time, motherhood was elevated in our world, but it's more and more diminished as a role that lacks significance in comparison to a career or personal freedoms. Mm-hmm. And in your counseling practice, do you see any minimizing of the significance of motherhood? And how can we regain some of the understanding and the value that we have lost in our culture regarding that?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely know what you're talking about because I've seen that, you know, in our culture, just that, you know, it is less esteemed than it used to be. But I will say in my practice, that isn't something I really notice as much. If anything, I really notice moms coming in feeling very weighed down, you know, and wow. Like they're wanting to esteem it. They're wanting to live that. They know it's a heavy not necessarily burden, but it's a heavy task and it's something that the Lord has called them to.
Yeah.
But the hard thing is I feel like our culture has shifted so significantly that it really doesn't support families and support mothers in so many ways, you know? And so I think that's really what the struggle is for so many moms today. I think about, you know, for so many years and cultures, like, you know, it's that whole saying is like the village raises the kids, right? And like, ultimately, that was what happened for so many years. And obviously, the mother and father were the main people, but they had this support system around them.
Right.
Where now, that's not always the case. Sometimes it's literally mom and dad, and sometimes it's just mom, you know?
Yeah.
And so it is this shift that I feel like has happened in our culture. And I think sometimes the younger generations have seen this struggle and are like, no, I don't think I want that.
Yeah.
And I mean, I kind of like, I can't blame you if that's kind of all you see. But I think how we regain this, the value of it, is for us as individuals understanding the significance of it. And so there was one day in particular, I felt like, you know, motherhood is very much goes unnoticed, right? All the things you do, you a lot of times barely get a thanks, if at all. And so one day just kind of struggling with that and was on Instagram and somebody went live and I normally never watch those, but I ended up watching it. And it was somebody talking about the eternal rewards of motherhood. You know, even saying like cutting the crust off a sandwich and doing that with a servant's heart, it is reaping an eternal reward that we just can't see right now, you know? Yeah. And so I think that is something for us as moms, is recognizing the significance and the value of it. And we might not see that necessarily on this side of heaven. We might not have our kids come to us and go, "Mom, I'm so thankful for all that you've done for us." You know, even though I do believe they believe that or feel that way, but you just might not get that. But there is an aspect of this, is that we are seen by the Lord in all the things that we do and all the ways that we sacrifice and give of ourselves. And so it's just remembering that fact, that we might not see the rewards and reap those on this side of the heaven, but I definitely believe that we will on the other side.
Yes, I love that. That makes me think of that scripture that says your labor will not be in vain.
Absolutely.
That is the truth when it comes to motherhood, for sure, and just serving Jesus in every aspect of your life.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, obviously, Jochebed took her role as mother very seriously. When the king of Egypt commanded that the baby boys be thrown into the river, she hid Moses for 3 months. And I think that would have been a lot easier in our day and time than in her situation. Now we know that she did that because her baby, she loved her baby, and she would just fight for that baby no matter what. So we all can be mama bears when it comes to our children. Mm-hmm. I've wanted to take out second and third graders when one of y'all came home, you know, where they were, your feelings were hurt by someone. Yeah. And so just something like that, I can only imagine if I had to protect you, any of you from some vicious evil king who wanted to actually kill you, you know? Mm-hmm. But the Bible tells us in the Old and New Testament in Exodus 2:2 and Hebrews 11:23, when she saw that the baby was beautiful, she hid him 3 months. So, you know, first, I just want to say, what mother hasn't looked at their baby and saw a beautiful baby? Mm-hmm. I thought of all three of my babies and all of my grandchildren and thought every single one was absolutely beautiful. And, you know, when I looked at that original Hebrew term for beautiful as used here, I discovered that same term, good, that God used regarding his creation. In Genesis 1:4, mm-hmm. God saw the light that it was good. That's mm-hmm. the same term. In Genesis 1:31, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. That's the same term, beautiful. So maybe I'm just reading too much into this, but I see this as a conclusion word. Like Jochebed looked at her baby boy and came to the conclusion that he was mm-hmm. very good. And she saw the value in his life. Tiny as it was, she saw beyond that tiny infant. She saw the potential and the future possibilities for his life. So she did whatever it took to hide him until she could hide him no longer. So Taylor, let's just talk about our role as protectors, as mothers. God has given us this gift of being a life giver, but also a protector for that life. And as a mother of young children and as a counselor, what are some of the things mothers have to work to protect their children from? And are there any tried and true methods of protecting them that work, that a mom could implement into her parenting?
Yeah. When I think about that question, I think about the different components that make us, right? So we obviously have to protect our children physically, but also mentally, emotionally, spiritually as well. And you know, when I think about protection in some areas, it means keeping children away from dangerous situations, right? Like if there is somebody that I feel like could cause my child harm, I'm not going to allow them to be in the vicinity of my child, right? Like that is obviously very wise. But there are going to be different things. There are going to be ideas. There are going to be things that the culture esteems and values. There are going to be just so many different things that we are not going to be able to keep our children away from, right? Like, of course, we could put them in a little bubble and keep them from going out into civilization. Yeah. But in the end, they're only going to be harmed by that. So the reality is that we are going to have to help and instruct our kids while they are facing these difficult things in life, you know, these questions that they have, or these worldviews that are pushed on them at school or with different friends or whatever it is. We can't just shelter them from it. We can't just say, we don't believe that way, or we don't, you know, that's not true, or whatever it is, or just choose not to engage them with conversation. So obviously there's age appropriate things here, right? Like, I'm not going to intentionally expose my kids to something that there's no reason or benefit in it, but there's a lot of gray in this. Yeah. And I think a lot of times it's easier for us as parents to go, well, this is black and white, you know? And I just don't feel like that's the case. There's a lot of gray in trying to figure out, like, what do I allow my kids to be exposed to, and how do I help them in navigating through this? Because ultimately, if we just simply try to protect them until they're 18 years old and then they go off into the world, they have no tools in order to help themselves in discerning what is true and what is right and what is wrong. And so it's our job in a lot of ways to allow some exposure while protecting them and while helping them to be able to discern truth in that. And so to me, I think the first practical thing is, like, ultimately, this is not going to happen without intentional family time, right? Like, we cannot expect to know what questions our kids have, what they're facing, what is coming at them at school, if we are not intentionally engaging with them, right? And I know life is busy. I'm there. We're in the middle of baseball season. It's insane, right? And so there are many seasons in life where this is going to look different than other seasons. But ultimately, there still has to be time taken out of your day, or I'm not even going to say day, let's just say week, where there is intentional time to engage our kids. And if there is not that pocket of time, my encouragement is something needs to change. And so to me, the encouragement I have is, like, okay, we need to find once a week family devotional time, right? So this is time where you're able to, there's so many different resources there. We have a book that we're kind of going through currently. I can't remember the name of it, but it's been great with our kids, and it asks them questions. They ask questions, and it's just an open time just to discuss the Lord, to discuss discipleship. And like, that is important for so many people that I've met with. They have basically been told when they were a young child that questions weren't a good thing. And our children have to know that questions are a good thing. And even if you don't know the answer, that's okay. Let them know that you will help them in figuring out the answer, right? So I could go on and on with this, but the goal is open communication, discussing these things, finding time for that. Because the reality is, when our kids are faced with things that go against what they believe, and they know what you believe because y'all are spending time discussing that, the goal and the hope is they're going to come to you with that, and you're going to help them be able to discern what is true and what is not from there.
Yeah, that's so very good. I just, I'm like, man, I wish Taylor had been my counselor when I was raising you.
Oh my goodness.
So much good information.
Yeah.
You know, when you look at what Jochebed does when she couldn't hide her baby boy Moses anymore, she puts him in the river in her own terms, setting him in an ark. And I just wondered if she thought about how God had saved Noah and his family in an ark when God flooded the earth. I believe she put Moses in that ark, fully believing that God would save her son. And God did. So Pharaoh's daughter found him in the river when bathing, and I fully believe that Jochebed had done her research. She knew where the maidens would be in the river and positioned Moses to be found by them. Now, maybe she thought she was taking a chance, but her trust in God seemed to outweigh the risk. And at the same time, to keep him with her would ultimately end his life at some point in the near future. So I think Jochebed shows us something as parents, that we do our own research in how to best protect our children in their lives. We don't want to be ignorant in parenting. We want to know that we've done our part as much as it's possible for us as parents to be the best that we can be. And yet still we will have to trust God, even with the knowledge that we acquire, because there will be points in our parenting journey when our knowledge will never be enough. No matter how much research we've done, it will never be enough for us to parent well. We will simply need Jesus to take over. And I just imagine God's hand guiding that ark with Moses in it to the very person he wanted to see him. Only God knew who would have that compassion on him. So Taylor, when you have mothers who come to you for counseling in regard to parenting and trying to protect their children, how would you guide them in the practical side of parenting and that spiritual rest of trusting Jesus in it?
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, we should do everything we can, right? To love, to protect, to care for our children, right? And the great thing about our world today with social media, there are positives to it, is we have access to so much helpful information, you know, that, I mean, I'm sure y'all did not have when we were children. So there are books, there are podcasts, right? Like, I'm a big believer that those resources can be incredibly helpful in the parenting journey. Yeah. So like, take those things in and bring them with you in your journey. You don't have to take the whole thing. Take the pieces that you feel like are going to work for your child, because what works for one child is not going to work for another.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, we can do all the right things, and we can be perfect, you know, which is not possible, parents in so many ways. And that is not a guarantee in what this is going to end up for us or for our children, right? Like, there is still brokenness in our world. There's still suffering. There's addiction. There's all kind of brokenness that we and our children will have to wrestle with. So we cannot guarantee any particular outcome. And that is often my tendency, is like, if I do the right things, if I have the correct knowledge, if I'm able to impart that to my children, then everything will turn out okay. You know, and when I think about that, I think about kind of the amount of pride that is in that statement, that I have some semblance of control over the direction that my children take or go in their life, when ultimately I have none, you know. Yeah. And it's coming to terms with that. Like, yes, we try to do the best thing. We seek wise counsel. We use resources, right? We do the things that we can do. But at the end of the day, it's recognizing the fact that that is not going to result in a particular outcome, nor save our children, right? Like, and so that's where we come to the end of that and go, but my hope is in Christ and Christ alone. You know, the only hope we really and truly have in this is that the Lord is working and doing something that we cannot see fully, and we can trust in him and in his work and in his timing. And so, yes, do the things, read the things, right? Do what you can. But then it's also going, okay, Lord, I trust you in the midst of this, and I'm going to rest in the fact that you're working even when I can't see it.
Well, ultimately, none of us want to be without Jesus parenting. I know I surely would not want to take on that task. Mm-hmm. You know, when I looked at Jochebed, I wanted to look at, you know, because Moses always gets the attention, I wanted to look at her, because Moses just gets all of the attention. But Moses would not have been around to live the life that he lived if he had not had a mother who landed a spot of faith. I mean, a spot in the Hall of Faith. You know, Moses' mother was a woman who saw beyond the moment. She saw beyond the fear that she faced. She saw the value and potential in her infant baby boy. And as women who God created to be life givers and protectors of this life, of the life that he's given us, we need to see every tiny human, their life just like that, valuable and full of potential. So Taylor, any scriptures or just final words of wisdom from your counseling expertise that you'd like to share before we close out today?
Yeah, I mean, the main thing that kind of came to my mind was a scripture, and it's, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And so I thought about that scripture because ultimately, I don't know if there's anything more anxiety provoking than parenting, if we're being honest, right? Because, I mean, anxiety comes from a desire to control. We have no control over our children. And what they, I mean, we do have some semblance of control when they're younger, but as they get older, the less and less control we have. And so we can make a choice in that moment. We can choose to be anxious and we can choose to sit in that worry and be fearful, or we can choose what the scripture says is to pray, you know, to petition the Lord and to be grateful and thankful in the midst of it. And the hope is that doesn't always mean the situation plays out the way we want it to, but that we will have peace in the midst of those trying times. And so to me, that's the hope, that's the goal. If we can do that in our parenting journey, I think we've accomplished quite a bit up in the day, you know?
Yes, absolutely. Well, Taylor, thank you so much for joining me today on her podcast. And before we finish up, just tell us how, if someone wants to connect with you, maybe wants to have a counseling session with you, how could they do that?
Yeah, you can go to scscounseling.com and go to the Getting Started tab and go down to the appointment inquiry. And so you can fill that out and then somebody will get back with you on scheduling shortly after that.
Since Jacobed took us to focus on the topic of motherhood, I wanted to share a free resource called Daily Prayers for Your Children. And you can get that on my website, onfire-ministries.org. Go to the resources tab and click on the free Bible resources tab and scroll down until you see the Daily Prayers for Your Children. And this document has 10 scripture-based prayers that you can download, you can print off and stick it in your Bible, stick it in your prayer journal and pray that over your children. So I want to invite you also to join me on Facebook and Instagram to get your daily biblical encouragement for Christian women. And if you found her podcast beneficial, please take a moment to rate, review, and share this podcast with others, because I believe that it may be the very words that someone else needs to be encouraged in their faith journey today. And until we meet again, have a blessed and beautiful day.